and daughters to the temples. But no, he was here, drinking whiskey by himself. A knock on the door sounded. I closed my eyes, lightly banging the back of my head against the wall. Company? He was going to have visitors? Maybe the gods had been watching me this whole time, and this was yet another punishment.
Come in,
he called out, and I heard the door clicking shut a few moments later.
You're late.
Oh, dear. I recognized that cold, flat tone. The Duke was not pleased.
My apologies, Your Grace. I came as soon as I could,
came the response. It was a male voice, one I didn't immediately recognize, which meant it could be any number of people. Ascended lords, stewards, merchants, guards.
Not soon enough,
the Duke replied, and I cringed for whoever was surely on the receiving end of a very disapproving stare.
I hope you have something for me. If so, that would go a long way to restoring my faith in you.
I do, Your Grace. It took a while. As you know, the man was not talkative.
No, they never are once you get them out of the public eye, where they can't cause a spectacle with their words,
the Duke commented.
I'm guessing you had to be extremely convincing to get him to talk.
Yes. There was a rough laugh, and then,
he's not an Atlantean. That has been confirmed. Shame,
the Duke said. And I frowned. Why would that be bad news?
I've learned his name. Lev Baron, the first son of Alexander and Maggie Baron. He had two brothers. The second died of an illness before his right, and the third was given to the temples 3 years ago. He was not a known person of interest, and his behavior at the assembly wasn't expected.
They were talking about the dissenter. The one who'd thrown the craven hand while the Duke and Duchess had spoken to the people after the attack.
You've investigated his family?
The Duke asked.
Yes, the father is deceased. The mother lives alone in the lower ward. She was useful in getting him to talk.
The Duke chuckled, and the sound turned my stomach.
What else have you learned?
I don't believe he was very connected within the community of dissenters. He claims that he has never met the Dark One, nor believes him to be within the city. A wealth of relief rose and spread through me, even as the wind lifted the edges of my cloak.
And you believed him?
The Duke asked.
I gave him good reason not to lie.
The man, who I assumed was one of the guards, answered. I thought about the man's mother. Had she been one of the reasons for him opening up? If so, the knowledge sat heavy in the pit of my stomach. Dissenters needed to be dealt with harshly, but I wasn't sure how I felt about family members being used to coerce information.
And did he tell you anything about the claim he made? About the third sons and daughters?
All he would say was that he knew the truth, that they weren't servicing the gods, and that everyone would soon learn that.
He didn't say what he believed to be the truth?
I turned my head toward the window, all but holding my breath. I would love to know what he thought was happening.
No, Your Grace. The only additional information I could glean from him was how he came to be in possession of a craven's hand,
he said. And that was, well, a good thing to know.
Apparently, he took it off the body of one of the guards who had become infected and returned to the city. He helped the family put the guard down after he'd changed. Death with dignity,
the Duke scoffed, and my eyes widened. He knew about that? About us?
These bleeding hearts will be the death of the entire city one of these days.
That statement was a wee bit excessive, but I hadn't considered that there may be dissenters in the network.
Did he happen to tell you who was involved with putting down the newly turned craven?
He asked.
No, he would not. That is also a shame. I would love to know who didn't contact us and why. The Duke sighed, as if that were the worst possible thing to remain unanswered. Do you have anything else to report?
No, Your Grace.
There wasn't an immediate response, but then the Duke said,
Does the dissenter still breathe?
For now.
Good.
It sounded like he'd stood, and I hoped that meant he was leaving. Please, gods, let that mean he's leaving.
I think I will visit him myself.
My brows lifted. Now that surprised me.
As you wish.
There was a beat of silence.
Will there be a trial that we need to prepare for?
I almost laughed. Dissenters weren't given an actual trial. They were put on public display while their charges were leveled against them. Execution quickly followed.
There will be no need after my visit with him,
the Duke said, and my mouth dropped open. The meaning was clear. If there was no trial, that meant there'd be no public execution, and the only reason that would occur would be if the dissenter was already dead. That had happened before while they'd been imprisoned. Normally, it was believed to have been by their own hands or by an overzealous guard. But could it be that the Duke was meting out justice himself? The same ascended who I doubted had gotten a speck of blood on his hands since the War of Two Kings? I shouldn't be surprised by that. He had a cruel streak and viciousness within him a mile wide. But he always kept that well hidden under a mask of civility. I also shouldn't be bothered by the idea of the dissenter being killed without the farce of a trial. They supported the Dark One. And even if some of them hadn't engaged in the riots and bloodshed, their words alone had sown the seeds that had caused blood to spill on more than one occasion. But I was bothered by the idea of anyone being killed in a dark, dank cell at the hands of an ascended who was barely better than an Atlantean. Finally, the door opened and closed, and there was nothing but silence. I waited, straining to hear any sound. I heard nothing, wondering why the Duke had decided to have this meeting here, and surprised by how aware of the network he was. I inched along the ledge toward the window. Clutching the journal to my chest with numb fingers, I neared the window. There was a clicking sound from inside the room. I froze. Was that the door closing? Or was it locking? Oh, my gods. If it had been locked, I would have to burst through it. Wait, the door could only be locked from the inside. Had someone else come into the room? Was it the Duke? There was no way he knew that I was out here, unless he could suddenly see through walls. Who else?
You still out there, Princess?
My lips parted as my eyes widened at the sound of his voice. Hawk! It was Hawk! In that room. I couldn't believe it.
Or have you fallen to your death?
He continued. I briefly debated the merits of jumping.
I really hope that's not the case, since I'm pretty positive that would reflect poorly on me, since I assumed you were in your room.
A pause.
Behaving. And not on a ledge, several dozen feet in the air, for reasons I can't even begin to fathom, but I'm dying to learn.
Damn it, I whispered, looking around, as if I could find another escape route, which was stupid. Unless I suddenly sprouted wings, the only exit point was through the window. A heartbeat later, Hawk stuck his head out and looked up at me. The soft glow of the lamp glanced off his cheekbones as he raised a brow. Hi, I squeaked. He stared at me a moment.
Get inside.
I didn't move. With a sigh so heavy it should have rattled the walls, he extended his hand toward me.
Now. You could say please, I muttered. His eyes narrowed.
There are a whole lot of things I could say to you that you should be grateful I'm keeping to myself.
Whatever, I grumbled. Move back. He waited, but when I didn't take his hand, he disappeared back into the room, grousing under his breath.
If you fall, you're going to be in so much trouble.
If I fall, I'll be dead. So I'm not quite sure how I'd also be in trouble.
Poppy, he snapped.
And I couldn't help it. I grinned. Had that been the first time he'd called me that? I thought so, as I carefully inched across the ledge. Gripping the upper windowsill, I ducked down. Hawk was standing by the settee, but the moment he spotted me, he moved incredibly fast. Startled, I jerked back, but I didn't fall. He had an arm around my waist. A second later, I was inside the room, my feet on solid ground, and the journal stuck between his chest and mine. There was still a lot of full body contact. My stomach and legs were pressed against his, and when I drew in a breath, I could practically taste his dark spice and pine scent on my tongue. Before I could say a word, he reached up and fisted the back of my hood.
Don't,
I started. Too late. He yanked it down.
A mosque. This brings back old memories.
His gaze roamed, flickering over the strands of hair that had escaped my braid and now fell against my cheeks. I flushed as I tried to pull away. He didn't let go.
I understand you're probably upset.
Probably,
he laughed.
All right, you're definitely upset, I amended. But I can explain.
I sure hope so, because I have so many questions, he said,
golden eyes glimmering as he stared into mine.
Starting with, how did you get out of your room? And ending with, why in the gods were you on the ledge?
The last thing I wanted to tell him about was the old servant's entrance. I tried to put space between us.
You can let me go. I can, but I don't know if I should. You might do something even more reckless than climbing out onto a ledge that can't be more than a foot wide.
My eyes narrowed. I didn't fall.
As if that somehow makes this whole situation better?
I didn't say that. I'm just pointing out that I had the situation completely under control. Hawk blinked, and then he laughed. He guffawed deeply, and the sound rumbled through me, eliciting a sharp wave of hot, tight shivers. Thankfully, he seemed unaware of the reaction.
You had the situation under control. I'd hate to see what happens when you don't.
I said nothing to that because I doubted whatever I would or could say would do me any favors. And neither did our proximity. Like on the rise, the way he held me against him reminded me of our time at the Red Pearl. And that was something I didn't need help remembering. It was hard to think clearly when he held me this close. I wiggled, trying to slip free, but it resulted in our lower bodies being more in contact. Hawk's arm tightened around me, and his hold felt like it had changed, as if he were no longer keeping me in place, but holding me, embracing me. My stomach dipped as I slowly lifted my gaze to his. He stared down at me, the lines around his mouth taut as the silence stretched between us. I knew I should demand that he let me go. Better yet, I should make him. I knew how to escape a hold, but I didn't move. Not even when he lifted his other hand and placed his fingers just below the mask. Standing here, allowing this, was possibly the sweetest torture I'd ever put myself through. He hesitated, and I wondered if he was waiting to see what I'd do, what I would say. When I still did nothing, his eyes shifted to a fierce, burning amber. His fingers drifted from the mask and slowly traced the curve of my cheekbone. My skin hummed as his stare followed the path that his fingertips took. He glided them down my face and over my parted lips. I sucked in a sharp breath, my chest suddenly feeling too tight. His chin dipped and my breath caught as he lowered his head. Every muscle in my body seemed to tense with a heady mix of panic and anticipation. There was intent in the way his lashes lowered and how he leaned in. He was going to kiss me. My heartbeat danced as his lips glided across my cheek, leaving a trail of fire in their wake. I knew what I should do, but I didn't. Maybe Hawk had been right when he'd said how I could have anything I wanted when, with a mask, I could pretend that no one knew who I was. He had to be, because my eyes closed and I didn't move. Hawk had been my first kiss, but if he kissed me now, like this, this would be our real first kiss. He knew who I was now. He'd seen me unveiled. He knew. And I wanted this. Wanted him. Chapter 22. My heart was pounding so hard as his fingers drifted to my chin. He tilted my head back, and I felt like I was falling. His mouth moved to my ear, and his warm breath sent hot tingles through me. "Poppy," he murmured, the word sounding rough, thick. "Yes," I whispered, barely recognizing my own voice. His fingers slid down my throat. "How did you get out of the room without me seeing you?" My eyes popped open. "What?" "How did you leave your chambers?" he repeated. It took me a moment to realize that he wasn't trying to kiss me. He was just trying to distract me. Feeling about 7 different kinds of foolish, I cursed under my breath and pulled at his hold. This time, he let go. Face flaming, I stepped back. I retreated several steps, lowering the journal as I dragged in a deep breath. I was so incredibly stupid. Desperate not to let him see how close I'd come to letting him kiss me or the fact that I thought he was going to, I lifted my chin. The rawness was still there, though, and I felt no relief. "Maybe I walked right past you." "No, you didn't. And I know you didn't climb out of a window. That would have been impossible," he replied. "So, how did you do it?" Frustration spiked as I turned back to the window, welcoming the cool air drifting in. I was perhaps foolish enough to get caught, but I was not stupid enough to realize that I could get away with not telling him. "There's an old servant's access to my chambers." My grip tightened on the journal. "From there, I can reach the main floor without being seen."
"Interesting. Where does it empty out on the main floor?"
I snorted as I turned back to him. "If you want to know that, you have to find out for yourself." He lifted a brow.
"All right."
Holding his stare, I couldn't help but acknowledge that there still wasn't any relief. There was just... gods, there was only disappointment that he hadn't kissed me. And if that was an indication of anything, it was that I needed to get control of myself.
"That's how you got onto the rise without being seen," he stated,
and I shrugged.
"I'm assuming Victor knows all about this. Did Rylan?"
"Does it matter?" He cocked his head.
"How many people know about this entrance?"
"Why do you ask?" I challenged. Hawk took a step toward me.
"Because it's a safety concern, Princess, in case you've forgotten the Dark One wants you. A woman has already been killed, and there has already been one abduction attempt that we know of. Being able to move unseen through the castle directly to your chambers is the kind of knowledge he'd find valuable. A shiver crept across my shoulders. Some of the servants who've been at Castle Tierman for a long time know about it, but most don't. It's not a concern. The door locks from the inside. Someone would have to break down the door, and I'd be ready if that happened.
I'm sure you would be, Hawk murmured.
And I haven't forgotten what happened to Melissa, or that someone tried to abduct me.
You haven't? Then I guess you just didn't take any of that into consideration when you decided to go gallivanting through the city to the library.
I didn't go gallivanting through anything. I went through Wisher's Grove and was on the street for less than a minute, I told him. I also had my cloak up and this mask on. No one could see a single inch of my face. I wasn't worried about being snatched, but I also came prepared just in case.
With your trusty little dagger?
The dimple reappeared. Yes, with my trusty little dagger, I snapped, about 2 seconds away from throwing the thing in his face again. It hasn't failed me before.
And that was how you escaped abduction the night Ryland was killed?
He surmised.
The man wasn't scared off by approaching guards.
I exhaled noisily. There was no point in lying about this now. Yes, I cut him, more than once. He was wounded when he was called off. I hope he died.
You are so violent,
Hawk all but purred. You keep saying that, but I'm really not. Hawk laughed again, the sound deep and real.
You really aren't all that self-aware.
Whatever, I muttered. How did you even realize I was gone?
I checked on you, he said,
running a hand along the back of the settee.
I thought you might want company, and it seemed stupid for me to stand out in the hall, bored out of my mind, with you inside your room, most likely bored out of yours, which obviously you were since you left.
What he said caught me off guard. Did you really? His brows lifted. I mean, did you really check on me to ask if I wanted company? Hawk nodded.
Why would I lie about that?
I didn't know how to explain that not even Victor did that when he was on duty. My guards weren't allowed, as the Duke would see that as being too familiar. But no one checked on the old wing. Still, Victor stayed outside, and I stayed inside. But Hawk was different. He'd shown that from the beginning. I shook my head. It doesn't matter. Hawk was quiet, and when I glanced over at him, I saw that he was closer, leaning against the settee.
How did you end up on the ledge?
Well, that's kind of a funny story.
I imagine it is, so please, spare no details.
He crossed his arms. I sighed. I came to find something to read, and I stopped inside this room. I didn't want to go back to mine yet, and I didn't realize that anything about this room was special. I eyed the liquor cabinet. That alone should have been a warning. I was in here, and I heard the Duke outside in the hall. So, hiding on a ledge was a far better option than having him catch me here.
And what would have happened if he had?
I shrugged once more. He didn't, and that's all that matters. I quickly moved on. He had a meeting here with a guard from the prison. At least, I think that's who it was. They were talking about the dissenter who threw the Craven Hand. The guard got this man to talk. He said that the dissenter didn't believe that the Dark One was in the city.
That's good news.
Something about his tone snagged my attention. I glanced at him. You don't believe him?
I don't think the Dark One has survived as long as he has by letting his whereabouts be widely known, even by his most fervent supporters, he responded.
Unfortunately, he had a point. I think the Duke is going to kill the dissenter himself. He tilted his head slightly.
Does that bother you?
I don't know.
I think you do, and you just don't want to say it.
It was so freaking irritating how correct he was, and how often. I just don't like the idea of someone dying in a dungeon.
Dying by public execution is better?
I smiled at him.
Not exactly, but at least then it's being done in a way that feels...
Feels like what?
I inhaled heavily.
At least then it feels like it isn't something being hidden.
Hawk stared back at me, almost curiously.
Interesting.
The corners of my lips turned down.
What is?
You?
Me.
He nodded and then moved, his hand striking out. Before I even knew what he was doing, he had a hold of the book.
Don't!
Unprepared, my fingers slipped over the leather binding, and then it was free from my hand. He had it.
Oh my gods, he had the journal, and that was worse than falling to my death. If he saw what it was about.
The diary of Miss Willa Collins?
His brows knitted as he looked it over.
Why does that name sound familiar?
Give it back! I reached for it, but Hawk danced away. Give it back to me now.
I will if you read it to me. I'm sure this has to be more interesting than the history of the kingdom.
He opened the book.
Maybe he couldn't read. Please let it be that he couldn't read.
The grin slowly slipped from his face.
Of course he could read. Why was life so unfair?
His dark brows rose as he flipped through the pages.
I knew what was on the first page. Miss Willa Collins had been painfully detailed about the intimate kiss.
What interesting reading material.
My face was burning with the fire of a thousand suns, and I wondered how mad Hawk would get if I threw my dagger at his face. Again.
The grin returned. So did the dimple.
Penelope.
He said my name with so much shock, my eyes would have rolled if I weren't so incredibly mortified.
This is just scandalous reading material for the maiden.
Shut up.
Very naughty, he chided, shaking his head.
Annoyance hitting a record high, I lifted my chin. There is nothing wrong with me reading about love.
I didn't say there was.
Hawk looked at me.
But I don't think what she's writing about has anything to do with love.
Oh, so you're an expert on this now?
More so than you, I imagine.
I snapped my mouth shut. The truth in that statement stung, and I lashed out. That's right. Your visits to the Red Pearl have been the talk of many servants and ladies in wait. So I suppose you do have a ton of experience.
Someone sounds jealous.
Jealous? I laughed as I rolled my eyes. As I said before, you have an overinflated sense of importance in my life. He snorted as he returned to skimming through the book. Irritated, I turned to the liquor cabinet. A short glass remained out. Just because you have more experience with what goes on at the Red Pearl doesn't mean I don't know what love is.
Have you ever been in love?
He asked.
Has one of the Duke's Stuarts caught your eye? One of the lords? Or perhaps a brave guard?
I shook my head. I haven't been in love.
Then how would you know?
I know my parents loved one another deeply. I toyed with the jeweled top of the decanter. What about you? Have you been in love, Hawk? I hadn't expected an answer, so when he gave me one after a few moments, I was more than surprised.
Yes.
There was an odd twisting motion in my chest that I didn't quite understand as I looked over my shoulder at him, causing me to realize that the aching coldness had eased. I had no idea what it was about him that did that to me. It probably had to do with the fact that he irritated me. Someone from your home? Do you still love her? That was the second question bubbling to the surface, but by the grace of the gods, I managed to refrain from asking that question.
He was still looking down at the book.
It was a long time ago, though.
A long time ago? When you were what, a child? I asked, knowing that he couldn't be more than a handful of years older than I was, despite the way he made it sound as if it were an eternity ago. He chuckled, and then his lips curved up in a small half smile. The dimple made an appearance at his right cheek, causing the twisting motion inside me to increase.
How much of this have you read?
That's none of your business.
Probably not. But I need to know if you got to this part.
He cleared his throat.
Wait, was he going to read from it? No, please no.
I only read the first chapter, I said in a rush. And you look like you're in the middle of the book, so...
Good. Then this will be fresh and new to you. Let me see, where was I?
He dragged a finger over the page and then tapped the center.
Oh, yes. Here.
Fulton had promised that when he was done with me, that I wouldn't be able to walk straight for a day, and he was right.
Huh. Impressive.
My eyes widened. The things the man did with his tongue and his fingers had only been surpassed by his shockingly large, decadently pulsing, and wickedly throbbing. Hawk chuckled.
This woman has a knack for adverbs, doesn't she?
You can stop now.
Manhood.
What? I gasped.
That's the end of the sentence, he explained.
And when he glanced up, I immediately knew that whatever was about to come out of his mouth was going to burn me alive.
Oh, you may not know what she means by manhood.
I do believe she's talking about his cock, prick, dick, his, oh my gods, I whispered.
His apparently extremely large, throbbing and pulsing.
I get it. I completely understand.
Just wanted to make sure. Wouldn't want you to be too embarrassed to ask and think she was referencing his love for her or something.
I hate you.
No, you don't.
And I'm about to stab you, I warned, in a very violent manner.
Concern flickered across his face as he lowered the book. Now that, I believe.
Give me back the journal.
But of course.
He offered it, and I snatched it out of his hand quickly, holding it to my chest.
All you had to do was ask.
What? My mouth dropped open. I have been asking.
Sorry.
He didn't sound sorry at all.
I have selective hearing.
You are the worst.
You got your words wrong.
Striding past me, he patted the top of my head. I lashed out, narrowly missing him.
You meant I'm the best.
I got my words right.
Come, I need to get you back before something other than your own foolishness puts you at risk.
He stopped by the door.
And don't forget your book. I expect a summary of each chapter tomorrow.
He and I were never going to speak about this diary again. But I did bring it with me when I followed him to the door. It was only when he reached for the handle that it struck me. How did you know where I was? Hawk looked over his shoulder at me, a faint smile playing at his lips.
I have incredible tracking skills, princess.
I have incredible tracking skills, I muttered under my breath the following afternoon. What? Tawny turned to me, frowning. Nothing, I'm just talking to myself, I said, taking a deep breath and pushing thoughts of Hawk out of my mind. You look beautiful. And it was true. Tawny's hair was twisted up with a few tight curls framing her face. Her lips matched her mask and gown, a deep and vibrant shade of red. The thin, sleeveless dress hugged her lithe form. She wasn't just beautiful as she walked toward where I stood by the fireplace. She was confident and at ease with her body and herself. And I was in awe of her.
Thank you.
She straightened the material along her shoulder and then dropped her hand.
You look absolutely stunning, Poppy.
A flutter erupted in my chest and spread to my belly.
Do I? Gods, yes. Have you not looked at yourself yet?
I shook my head, no. Tawny stared at me.
So you put on the dress, this absolutely beautiful tailor-made dress, and haven't even looked at yourself? Not only that, you let me do your hair. I could have made it look like a nest for birds.
A nervous giggle left me. I really hope you didn't. She shook her head.
You are so weird sometimes.
I was, admittedly, but it was hard to explain why I hadn't looked at myself yet. It was so rare that I saw myself in anything other than white, and even when I dressed differently to sneak out, I didn't really look at myself. And this was still different because it was allowed, because someone who knew me would see me.
Hawk would see me. The flutter turned into large birds of prey that had been pecking away at my insides.
I was so nervous.
Come on. Tawny caught my hand and dragged me into the bathing chamber where the only mirror was located. She marched me straight to where the nearly full-length mirror was propped against the corner.
Look.
I almost closed my eyes, as silly as that was, but I looked. I stared at my reflection, not quite sure I recognized myself, and it had nothing to do with the lack of veil and the red domino mask that had been delivered along with the gown.
What do you think?
Tawny asked, her reflection appearing behind me.
What did I think? I felt naked.
The gown was beautiful. No doubt there. The crimson gossamer sleeves, shaded just enough to hide the scars on my inner arms, were long and flowing and had a delicate lace edge at the cuffs. The flimsy fabric was opaque at the breast and down to my thighs, the gown skimming my curves and shielding those areas. The skirt was loose, and a thicker band of gossamer created the illusion of tears every few inches. But everything else was as translucent as a nightgown. I really should have tried the dress on. It had been hanging in my wardrobe for long enough. I had no idea why I hadn't.
Lies. I knew that if I tried it on, I probably would have sent it back.
Tawny had talked me into keeping most of my hair down. Only the sides were pulled back from my face, secured by tiny pins. The rest fell to the middle of my back in loose waves.
Hawk would see me in this dress.
Maybe I could use my hair as a cloak, I suggested, gathering the strands into two sections and pulling it over my shoulders.
Oh my gods!
Tawny laughed, shooing my hands away. She brushed the heavy waves back.
You can't see anything.
I know, but I placed my cool hands against my flushed cheeks.
You've never been allowed to wear anything like this,
she finished for me.
I understand. It's okay to be nervous.
She stepped back and dug around in the little bag she'd brought with her.
But you look beautiful, Poppy.
Thank you, I murmured, glancing at my reflection. I did feel beautiful in this gown. Anyone would. Tawny returned to my side, a pot in one hand and a slim brush in the other.
Keep your lips parted and hold still.
I did as she ordered and held completely still as she painted my lips the same shade as my dress. When she was finished, she stepped aside. My lips were bright. I'd never worn paint on my lips or eyes before. Obviously, it wasn't allowed for me.
Why?
My skin was supposed to be as pure as my heart, or something. I had no idea. Once the Duchess had explained it to me, but I might have zoned out halfway through that conversation.
Perfect,
Tawny murmured, placing the pot and brush back into her bag.
You ready?
No, not at all. But I needed to be. The rite would begin at dusk,
and the sun was already setting. Pulse pounding, I nodded. Tawny smiled at me, and I think I smiled back, or at least I hoped I did, as I followed her out into the main chamber. I felt a little dizzy as she reached for the door, opening it. Hawk would be out there with Victor, and I wanted to turn back and run. To where? I had no idea. Maybe to the bed, where I could wrap the blanket around. Victor stood alone. I looked up and down the hall, expecting to see Hawk, but the corridor was otherwise empty.
You both look lovely, Victor said.
It was weird, seeing him in anything but black and without the white mantle of a royal guard. He was dressed for the rite in a deep crimson sleeveless tunic and breeches that matched.
Thank you,
Tawny said, curling her arm around mine as I murmured the same thing. The corners of his lips turned up as he focused on me.
You sure you're ready, Poppy?
She is,
Tawny answered, patting my arm. I am, I said, realizing that Victor wouldn't move forward if I didn't say anything. He nodded, and then the three of us started down the hall. Was Hawk not working tonight? I figured both of them would be on duty with me at the right. But what if I'd assumed wrong? But he'd said he was curious to see me. Didn't that mean that even if he wasn't on duty, he'd be here? My heart thumped as we walked down the stairs to the second floor. It shouldn't matter if he was here or what he said. I wasn't dressed for him. But where was he? I told myself not to ask. I reminded myself over and over. But I blurted it out anyway. Where's Hawk?
He had to meet with the commander, I believe. He will meet us at the right.
Relief swept through me, and on its heels came the almost sweet thrill of anticipation. I exhaled roughly. If my question or reaction appeared odd to Victor, he didn't show it. Tawny, on the other hand, squeezed my arm. I glanced at her. She grinned, and if the mask hadn't covered her eyebrows, I knew one of them would be raised. We made our way to the foyer, and there were many people, commoners and ladies and lords, both fully ascended and those in wait, and staff, all forming a sea of crimson. Cologne and perfumes mixed with the sounds of laughter and conversation. It was a lot to take in as we passed one of the statues. The first thing I did was lock down my gift, fortifying my walls. But my heart was still pounding as we entered the Hall of Banners. The archway of the Great Hall loomed ahead, brightly lit. Air seemed to leak in and out of my lungs as we entered the Great Hall. Gods, there were so many people. Hundreds stood before the raised dais, between the pillars, and in the windowed alcoves. Normally, I would be on the dais, removed from the throng, but not tonight. It still shocked me that the Duke and Duchess hadn't demanded that I join them, but there simply hadn't been any space. Not when there were at least half a dozen temple clergy on the dais, including Princess Analia, and just as many royal guards. I looked around, trying to control my breathing. The white and gold banners, usually hanging between the windows and behind the dais, had been replaced by the deep crimson banners of the rite, embossed with the royal crest. Deep red blossoms flowed from urns, variations of roses and other similarly hued flowers. Up by the dais, there was a break in the color, a splash of white amongst the red. For once, it wasn't me who stood out. Dressed in white tunics and gowns, the second sons and daughters stood with their families. Behind them, the parents of the third sons and daughters crowded, their children in their arms. All of them, even the parents, bore wreaths of red roses and twine upon their heads. If I never see another rose, I will live happily, Tawny commented, following my gaze. You have no idea how many thorns I had to pull out of my fingers while making those crowns. They're beautiful, though, I said, as Victor scanned the crowd that continued to file in.
Most paid us no mind as we walked among them. Only a few did a double take when their gazes passed over us. Eyes rounded around their masks as they either recognized Tawny or Victor, knowing that I had to be the one in between them. My cheeks heated, but there were so few of them that noticed. To everyone else, I was just like them. For the most part, I was blending in. I was no one. The pressure eased in my chest as my pulse slowed. Breathing became so much easier, and the mental walls blocking out my gift no longer felt as if they were seconds away from crumbling. I wasn't the maiden right now. I was Poppy. Briefly closing my eyes, muscles strung tight as a bow relaxed. This was what I'd been looking forward to, when I could just be Poppy. And that made this moment, this night, a little magical. Opening my eyes, I looked up at the dais again, ignoring the far left of the stage where the priestess stood. I spotted the Duchess speaking with one of the royal guards I recognized. I generally saw him outside the Duke's office. I scanned the dais, but didn't see the Duke. I wondered where he was when one of the priests joined the Duchess and the royal guard. My gaze dropped to those before the dais, and my excitement dimmed as I thought of the Tullis family. They had to be up there with their son, preparing to say goodbye to yet another child. Tonight would not be a celebration for them. Not
maiden.
The hairs on the back of my neck rose as I looked over my shoulder, already knowing who I would see. Lord Brandol Mazeen. Chapter 23. Besides the Duke and the Dark One, he was the last person I wanted to see standing behind me. Like Victor, his red tunic was sleeveless, and behind his mask, his pitch-black eyes seemed to glimmer. I managed to keep my voice level as I said, "My lord." A sardonic, tight-lipped grin twisted his mouth as his gaze flickered over me, lingering in a way that really made me wish that I were covered head to toe in a sack. Finally, he tore his gaze away and nodded at Tawny and Victor. Then his attention settled back on me.
"I hear that a certain priestess is very unhappy with you."
The tension returned, sinking its rigid claws into my neck as I stared up at him. The lord stepped in close, too close for any level of propriety.
"I do believe you're in for another lesson, my dear."
I inhaled sharply, almost overcome by some kind of thick, musky cologne. My gaze flew to his as his scent triggered a memory. He hadn't smelled of cologne the night he'd trapped me in an alcove, the night Malessa had been murdered. He'd smelled of something else then, something sweet and musky. Jasmine. He'd smelled of jasmine. My mind immediately went to the petal I'd found under the chair in the room Malessa had been found in. There hadn't been jasmine in that room, unless it had been replaced by the lilies. But hadn't Tawny...
"Excuse me."
Victor stepped in, placing a hand on my arm. "We need to be..."
"No need to run off."
Mazine's gaze remained fixed on mine.
"I'll be on my way now. Enjoy the rite."
And with that, he slipped around us and headed down the steps onto the main floor of the great hall.
"What was that about?"
Victor asked, his voice low. "It's nothing." My thoughts raced as I turned back to Tawny. "You said you saw Malessa the day she died. That morning, correct?" Tawny's lips pinched. "Yes, I did." "Was she carrying a bouquet? Do you remember what kind of flowers it had?" She blinked. I don't know. I know they were white." The petal in the room had been white. And it had definitely been jasmine. My stomach dipped. Her gaze searched mine. "Why are you asking?"
"That's a good question," Victor chimed in.
"I don't know." I looked out over the mass of people, unable to find the Lord. I thought about how he'd stood in that doorway, staring and unmoving. He'd been there when Rylan had escorted me back to my chambers, and he'd come out of one of the rooms. Which one, I couldn't be sure. But what did any of that mean, anyway? He could have been with Malessa before she died, or it could be a coincidence. But an Atlantean had killed her. That much was clear. Nothing else could have made such a wound without getting blood everywhere.
Poppy?
Victor touched my arm lightly as the priest moved toward the center of the dais.
Is everything okay?
I nodded. I would speak to him later about it, but I wasn't even sure what I was thinking.
Where is the Duke?
Tawny whispered. The rite is starting, and he still wasn't here. The Duchess kept pacing to her left, where the dais could be accessed by the back entrance.
We are gathered here tonight to honor the gods,
the priest spoke, hushing the crowd gathered on the floor below.
To honor the rite.
Excuse me?
A soft voice came from behind us. I turned at the same time as Victor, and another shock greeted me as I recognized the woman standing there. It was Agnes. Oh my gods. My eyes widened as she glanced nervously between Victor and me. She was wearing red like everyone else, a skirt and blouse dyed to match. She looked better than the last time I had seen her, but there were deep shadows under her eyes that told me that her grieving had not been easy.
I'm sorry to interrupt,
she said, keeping her gaze downcast. I saw you, and I had to come over.
It's okay. Victor sent me a look. Would you like to speak to me somewhere private?
She nodded without looking up, and not for one second did I think she didn't realize who I was. Victor's gaze met mine.
I'll be right back.
Actually, I would like to speak to her,
Agnes said, as the priest launched into a prayer, if it would be okay. Her gaze lifted briefly to mine. It would only be for a moment. Victor started to deny her request, but people were beginning to pay attention, sending sharp looks of reprimand in our direction.
It's okay, I said quickly. We can step outside.
Who is that? Tawny mouthed at me, and I forced a casual shrug.
I'll be here, she said.
Victor quickly escorted Agnes out into the nearly empty corridor. There were a few stragglers as they hurried into the hall. He led us to an alcove near one of the open archways that led out to the garden.
It's very unwise for you to approach us,
he began almost immediately.
I know, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have, but I...
She glanced at me, her eyes widening slightly.
I didn't think you'd be here.
How did you know it was me?
I asked. Victor's head jerked in my direction, his mask doing very little to hide his disbelief. The fact that she'd identified me when she hadn't seen my face was worth the risks.
I didn't, until I heard that ascended, the Lord, speaking to you, she said. I wasn't expecting to see you here, she said again.
Damn it,
Victor muttered under his breath. Well, that was another thing I could hate Lord Mazin for. Not that there needed to be another reason.
What did you want to speak to her about?
Agnes's throat worked on a swallow. If I could speak to her in private?
That's not going to happen.
The softness was gone from Victor's tone.
At all.
Trepidation flickered across the woman's flushed face. It's not, I said. Whatever you need to say to me can be said in front of Victor. She clasped her hands together. I wanted to thank you for what you did. She glanced around before continuing. What you did for my husband and for me.
There are no thanks needed, I assured her, wondering why she had wanted to speak to me alone about that.
Victor was obviously wondering the same thing based on the way his eyes squinted.
I know, you've been so kind, both of you, but I don't think... No, I know I wouldn't have been able to deal with it by myself.
She trailed off, pressing her lips together. A cheer rose inside, and I glanced toward the entrance. Names were being announced. Ladies and lords in wait, who would be handed over to the staff.
You just what? Victor asked.
It's just that her chest rose with a heavy breath. I heard about what happened to you. It's been happening here, that poor girl, and that someone tried to take you. There are rumors.
What rumors?
Victor demanded. Agnes dampened her lips. People have said that it was the Dark One coming for you.
That wasn't exactly news, but goosebumps still broke out over my skin.
I don't know about that poor girl, Agnes continued. I didn't think you'd be here tonight. When I saw you, I felt I needed to tell you what I've heard. Thank you, I said, as another cheer erupted from inside. I appreciate it. Agnes briefly met my gaze. I only want to make sure you're safe.
As do I.
Victor straightened to his full height. She nodded. Especially in crowds like this. There are so many people, and if he got in here once before, he could do it again. Others could too.
He got in here twice before, I corrected. Or at least two who support him did.
Her mouth opened, but then she closed it.
I think by now you've realized that I'm her personal guard, Victor said,
and Agnes nodded.
It is my sole duty to keep her safe. I appreciate your willingness to tell me what you've heard.
She nodded once more.
We would be forever in your debt if you could tell us everything you know, he continued. And I feel as if there is more that you're not sharing.
I looked sharply at Victor. I'm not sure what you mean.
You're not?
He asked softly. She shook her head. I've taken up too much of your time. I should be going.
She started backing up.
I'm sorry. Just...
Her gaze met mine.
Be careful, please.
Agnes turned, hurrying off toward the front of the castle. Victor started after, but stopped.
Damn it, he growled.
Where is Hawk?
I don't know. I looked around, my gaze snagging on one of the garden archways and to the darkness that lay beyond. What do you think she wasn't telling us?
I'm not sure.
He rubbed a hand through his hair.
It's only a feeling. Maybe I'm just being paranoid. Come on. He placed a hand on my back. I'm sure it's nothing.
I wasn't so sure if he really believed that, but I let him guide me back into the great hall and to Tawny's side. Is everything okay? She asked.
Yes. Or at least I hoped so. I had no idea what to make of what Agnes had said.
Tawny glanced at Victor and then said, They're almost done with the third sons and daughters.
I checked out the dais.
The Duke still hasn't arrived?
No,
she whispered.
Odd, right?
It was very odd. Had something happened when he went to see the dissenter the night before? If so, then something would have been announced. Between the missing Duke, my suspicions concerning Lord Mazin, and Agnes's unexpected presence, my mind was all over the place as the ceremony continued. Honest to the gods, it sounded like the priest was speaking a different language.
Maybe he was. I was unable to pay attention, and that was a shame because I'd always been curious about the back of my neck tingled, and the strongest sense of awareness swept over me. I couldn't explain it, but I knew that when I looked over my shoulder, I would see him. Hawk. And I was right. The next breath I took seemed to go nowhere as my gaze swept over the crimson-hued breeches and red tunic that showed just a hint of skin below his throat, as well as the carved line of his jaw and his lush lips. The curve of the red domino mask drew the eye to the rise of his cheekbones. A strand of dark hair tumbled over his forehead, brushing the stiff fabric. Hawk looked like I imagined one of the gods waiting in the temples appeared, striking and unattainable, alluring in a way that was a little frightening. And I knew that he was looking at me just as intently as I was at him.
A wave of shivers followed his gaze as it tracked over me with such concentration that it felt like a caress. Every inch of my skin, what was exposed and what wasn't, became hyper-aware. The flutter was back with a vengeance.
"Hi,"
I said, and immediately wished I'd kept my mouth shut. One side of his lips kicked up, and that dimple of his made an appearance.
"You look lovely,"
he said, and my stomach dipped in the most pleasant way possible. He turned to Tawny.
"As do you."
Tawny smiled.
"Thank you."
He glanced at Victor.
"You as well."
Victor snorted, and I smiled while Tawny giggled.
"You do look exceptionally handsome tonight,"
she said, and I swore Victor's cheeks deepened in color as I turned back to the dais.
"Sorry for the delay,"
Hawk said as he came to stand behind me.
"Is everything okay?"
I asked as I looked up at the dais. If Lord Mazin knew about what had happened with Priestess Analia, then she'd definitely gone to the Duke as expected. I doubted if she'd left out what Hawk had done.
"Of course," he replied. "I was pulled to assist with security sweeps. I didn't think it would take as long as it did."
I wanted to ask if anyone had said anything to him about what had happened with the Priestess. Still, if I said it in front of Victor, he'd have questions, and I didn't want him to worry. As those given to the court and to the temples were led out, the Duchess stepped off the dais, stopping to speak to the families and then some other court members. Next to the dais, music began to play, and servants entered from the access doors carrying trays of champagne. Ladies and lords, along with those in wait, broke into smaller groups. Merchants and other commoners joined them. Victor was eyeing the front before he turned to me.
"I need to speak to the commander," he said.
When I nodded, he turned to Hawk.
"I have her,"
Hawk answered, before Victor could even speak. And that stupid, funny motion hit my stomach again. Expecting Victor to challenge the statement, I was surprised when he accepted the answer. Was he coming around to liking Hawk? Trusting him? Or did he just want to catch the commander before he lost sight of him? Probably the latter.
"Have I missed anything?"
Hawk moved to my right, standing about a foot or so behind me.
"You haven't,"
Tawny answered, "unless you were looking forward to a bunch of prayers and teary-eyed goodbyes."
"Not particularly,"
he commented dryly. That reminded me. I looked at Tawny. "Did they call out the Tulis family?" Her brow creased.
"You know, I don't think they did."
Did that mean they hadn't come? If so, that would be considered treason. Guards would go to their home. The child would still be sent to serve the gods, and Mr. and Mrs. Tulis would most likely be imprisoned. The only way they'd have a chance was if they left the city. But no one came in and out of the city without the royals knowing. They'd have to be incredibly well-connected to even attempt such a feat. And even if they did, where would they go? Word would be sent to all surrounding cities and towns to be on the lookout for them. Knowing all of that, I still understood why they'd take the risk. It was their only child. My attention shifted as the Duchess drew near, flanked by several royal guards who, like Victor and Hawk, had swapped out their white mantles and typical black garb.
"Penelope,"
she said, her well-practiced smile in place.
"Your Grace,"
I murmured, as demurely as possible. She nodded at Tawny and Hawk, her gaze lingering on him for a few seconds. I bit down on the inside of my cheek to stop myself from smiling.
"Are you enjoying the ride?"
Considering I only saw a few minutes of it, I nodded. "Is His Grace not attending?"
"I believe he's running late,"
she answered smoothly, but the corners of her mouth tightened. She stepped closer, lowering her voice.
"Remember who you are, Penelope. You are not to mingle or socialize." I know, I assured her. Her dark eyes briefly met mine, and then she was on her way, like a jeweled hummingbird buzzing from one group of people to the next. Laughter rang out from the floor, drawing my attention. I saw Lauren and Dafina. I have a question, Duke said. I inclined my head. Yes?
If you're not supposed to mingle or socialize, which are the same thing, by the way, he said,
and I grinned.
What is the point of you being allowed to attend?
My grin faded.
That is actually a good question,
Tawny remarked, hands lightly clasped in front of her.
I'm not sure what the point is, to be honest, I admitted.
For several minutes, none of us spoke. I lost sight of the Duchess, and the Duke still hadn't appeared from what I could tell. I sighed as I glanced at Tawny. She really did look absolutely beautiful tonight, the red complementing the richness of her brown skin. I knew what she was so vividly focused on without following her gaze. Her expression could only be described as wistful as she watched couples pair off for some waltz I probably would never have been able to master, even if I'd been allowed. Her eyes tracked their movements fervently, and I knew for a fact that she knew every step of that dance. Why was she here and not there with the rest of them?
Of course, I knew the answer. It was because of me.
Guilt settled in my chest like a stone. Tawny? She twisted toward me.
Yes?
You don't have to stand here beside me. You can go and have fun.
What?
Her nose scrunched against the mask.
I am having fun, aren't you?
Of course, but you don't have to be right beside me. You should be out there. I gestured to the dancers and beyond, to where people huddled together in groups of three and four.
It's okay. I'm fine.
She plastered on a bright smile, and my heart squeezed.
I'm fine. I'd rather be here with you than out there without you.
You're the best, I said, wishing I could hug her. Instead, I reached between us and squeezed her arm. You really are. But I don't need you to be my shadow tonight. I already have two of them. Tawny's gaze flickered over my shoulder.
You really only have one. Victor is still with the commander.
And one is all I need. Please. I squeezed her arm again.
Tawny, go, please.
Her gaze searched mine, and I could tell she was waffling. Before she could decide not to, I lied.
I'm actually feeling very tired. I didn't sleep all that well last night, so I don't plan to be down here for much longer.
You're sure? I nodded. Tawny's entire body practically vibrated with the effort required not to throw her arms around me, but she managed a subdued nod as I released her hand. She gave me one last long look and then headed down the steps, crossing the floor to where Dafina and Lauren stood with three lords in wait. I smiled, relieved. I hoped she let herself enjoy her night, and to ensure that, I knew I needed to leave. If I stayed down here for any amount of time, standing between the enormous red geraniums, she would come back. I felt Hawk step closer before he even spoke, and a shivery wave of warmth danced over my skin. I turned my head to the right, to where he stood no more than a few inches behind me.
That was kind of you, he commented, as he stared out over the floor.
Not particularly. Why should she stand here and do nothing just because that's all I can do?
Is that really all you can do?
You were standing right here when Her Grace reminded me that I am not to mingle
or fraternize.
She said socialize, I corrected.
But you don't have to stay here.
I don't. I turned back to the floor, swallowing another sigh. I did have to leave. The idea of returning to my chambers held little appeal, but if I didn't, Tawny would return to my side. I would like to go back to my room.
You sure?
No. Of course.
After you, Princess.
I turned, eyes narrowing as he stepped aside. You need to stop calling me that, but I like it. Brushing past him, I lifted the hem of my skirt as I stepped onto the slight rise. But I don't.
That's a lie.
I shook my head as I skirted around the groups of smiling masked faces. None looked in my direction, most having thought twice about whether they'd seen the Duchess speak with me. The air was much cooler outside the Great Hall, courtesy of the breeze coming through the open garden entrances. I spared only a quick glance out into the garden before I started down the hall.
Where are you going? Hawk asked.
Stopping, I turned to him in confusion. Back to my rooms as I trailed off. Hawk's amber eyes were assessing as they roamed over me, lingering where my hair lay draped over my shoulders. His gaze traveled over the tiny scalloped lace along the bodice of my gown. The neckline wasn't as low as I'd seen some of the ladies in wait wear, and just the upper swells of my breasts were visible. But that was a lot for me, considering my normal gowns had a neckline up to the throat.
I was wrong earlier when I said you looked lovely, he said.
What?
You look absolutely exquisite, Poppy. Beautiful, he said, giving a little shake of his head. I needed to tell you that.
His words brought forth such a sharp, swelling emotion that my control over my gift snapped and my senses reached out before I could stop them. I didn't feel pain from him other than the hum of sadness. My gaze flew to his face. I felt something else, two separate emotions. One reminded me of lemon, tart against my tongue. The other sensation was heavier and spicy, a bit smoky. I thought the first might be confusion or maybe uncertainty, as if he were unsure of something. The other,
gods.
It took a few moments for my senses to zero in on what that was. It made me feel hot and achy. It felt like arousal.
I have an idea, he said,
slowly lifting that intense stare of his to mine. You do? I felt strangely breathless as I wrangled my gift, closing it down. He nodded.
It doesn't involve returning to your room.
Anticipation and excitement rose, but I'm confident that unless I remain at the right, I would be expected to return to my room.
You're masked, as am I. You're not dressed like the maiden. To use your own ideology from last night, no one will know who either of us is.
Yes, but
unless you wish to go back to the room. Maybe you're so engrossed in that book.
I'm not engrossed in that book. My cheeks flushed.
I know you don't want to be cooped up in your chambers.
When I opened my mouth, he added,
there's no reason to lie to me.
I couldn't lie. No one would believe me. And where do you suggest that I go?
Where we go?
Light from the sconces glinted off the curves of his mask as he tilted his chin toward the garden. My heart skipped at the same moment it twisted. I don't know. It
used to be a place of refuge, he said. Now it's become a place of nightmares.
But it can only stay that way if you let it. If I let it? How do I change the fact that Ryland died out there?
You don't?
I stared up at him. I'm not following where you're going with this. He stepped closer, dipping his chin.
You can't change what happened in there, just like you can't change the fact that the courtyard used to give you peace. You just replace your last memory, a bad one, with a new one, a good one, and you keep doing that until the initial one no longer outweighs the replacement.